This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
In your Chelsea days, who was parched?
PR person for England was like, you can't do that.
Dave, there was a player who went full frontal the other day. I saw it.
We've had two instances so far in the Premier League.
Series 6 now, I think this is, right? I don't think we've discussed the charge, the art of charging.
Kovacic, charger.
I'd razz with him all the time.
I think I'd be a good driver.
Oh, you bet. I'm real with you.
Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast with me, Joe Cole. Peter Crouch, Chris Stark and Statman Dave are with me as usual. All right, boys?
How's that?
All right, that was fantastic, man. How you doing, Joe? Thanks for doing this, mate. I appreciate it.
Last couple of episodes have been goalkeepers. And right. I think we've dug deep on that, haven't we? And there's been a certain amount of rivalry, I think it's fair to say, between Crouchy and the goalkeepers we've had on. Like striker, goalkeeper, battle, I think it's fair to say. So it's going to be a different dynamic, this one, I think.
Well, it's nice because we work together on BT as well. And like, you know, we've been getting a little bit of grief when we're stood together. The Driscoll brothers, we've been called from Only Fools and Horses.
Whenever they set us up, I should always be closest to the camera. Because if I'm with him, Jake and Rio, I just look like the mascot. Do you know what I mean? I'm like trying to get the touchscreen out and get serious on football. And I just look like I've won a competition.
That's so, me, yeah.
I'm national average height.
How high are you?
5'9.5". No, I am. Like, everyone goes, oh, little Joe Cole. I'm like, I'm average height.
Is but he, Statman Dave?
It is 5'9", 175.3 centimetres. Which is saying you're tall on that.
So that half is above the national average.
That's why I throw the half.
Stop it. So you're saying Joe Cole is above average height?
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's blowing your mind, isn't it? It's blowing your mind. Do you know?
Some of these stats are bollocks.
Anyway, national average. Happy with that.
You know, when you actually did burst on the scene and you did play, you look like a kid. Your kit was big. You had so much ability, but like you were playing in a... Yeah. At that time, it was full of 6 foot plus fellas.
I was an unusual player because I was a street footballer, pure street footballer. So I had all the skill in the world, could do all the tricks and that. So then when I took that onto the pitch, I was still a child, effectively, but I had this ability that other people didn't have. So it sort of... And Harry was great with me. Harry used to just go, right, just go out and play. My first start was at Wimbledon, Selhurst Park. And I remember Harry going to me, who's your favourite player, son? And I said, Franco Zola. He went, go and play like him. And that was it. That was all he said to me in the game. And I just went out. I did all right. But also, I think I didn't really get to grips with the tactical side of the game until I went to Chelsea, really. And Mourinho just sort of can't mess about. So he got me on that one. But yeah. I think I was just a street footballer playing in the Premier League.
Did you find that tough, like going to Chelsea and when Mourinho, obviously he had you off the left?
Yeah.
And yet, you know, tracking back and doing something maybe that you've not been used to?
You know, it's like back in the early noughties, you had to be on it defensively. So I had all that in the locker, but with Mourinho, the demands went up levels. I was like, got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to do that. And he just pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. And I think he knew the sort of character I was, and I was eating out the palm of his hand. He's a brilliant manager because he come in and he said to the lads from day one, I'm like Jose and this is what I've won. And he had a list of like all the things that the lads won. And apart from Makélélé, we'd won nothing like really. Like
he listed all the things that he's won.
He just said, look, I'm Jose, Champions League winner. I know how to win. Like he just, you know, like he spoke with such conviction. He was like, right, I'm on board. And then he went, right, you lot, none of you have won anything. Because at the time, Lampard... You know, JT, you know, it was only Makélélé who'd had any kind of career where they'd won something. A couple of lads had won a few trophies here and there, but nobody of significance. He said, if you follow me, we'll be champions on this day. Then he put the date and it was like 3 or 4 games before the end of the season. And a part of me was like going, is this guy for real? Like, he's like, but then another part of me was like, because he was so impressive on the training pitch and he just had this aura, you'd have just followed him into battle. Like, if Jose would have told you the sky was red, that was it. Mm. The sky was red. And we all bought into it. And
it does sound a bit David Brennan places.
It
though,
does.
It?
Like, but like, that's what I mean. But there's
keep
a
doing
thin
what you're
line.
Doing.
Yeah, but like, there's a thin line between David Brent and genius, ain't there? Mm. He never got the guitar out or anything. he was good.
So when you were with Mourinho, my perception of him has always been that he comes into a squad and then singles out a couple of people that are going to be sacrificed.
He identified straight away John Terry, Frank Lampard, Didier Drogba, Petr Cech was going to be the spine of his team. And then maybe the senior players like Makélélé treated different. Everyone else, and bearing in mind, he has some top players. So if I weren't playing, Damien Duff would have been in, or Robben would have been in. And then later on, Sean Wright Phillips and in that sort of wide area. So he knew he could replace us. It was like for like to a certain degree, but he couldn't replace JT. He couldn't replace Frank and Drogba and Petr Cech. So he felt like he treated them slightly different. And that was a brilliant move. I had rows with him all the time.
What was it like? So talk us through those moments. Like, I think we got a bit of a insight with the documentary that went out with Tottenham. I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah.
I don't know how true it was to your memories of being in those moments.
He was a lot nicer to the Tottenham players than he was to me.
Was he?
Yeah. And people thought he was a bit abrupt, didn't they, in that documentary? Yeah. Now, we've had things like, I remember playing a game, and I think I set up a couple of goals. We won just a normal home game. I can't remember where it was. I went through on goal, and I had Crespo to the right of me, and I tried to give it the eyes, and then give it to Crespo, and he tapped it in, but he's not read the eyes. I've eyes dim. And he's not there. So like, I look shit. Like, basically, I've gone through and I've done that, passed it there. He's not there. It could have been 3-0. But no harm done. We won the game 2-0. And I'm sitting there stretching my calves with the lads. And he's just come, Gaffer's come over. And I think he's going to be like, wow, well done yesterday. When you see you, boy, you will never play for me again. You done that shit. You'll never play for me again. And then walked off. And I thought, what have I done?
And that was after a 2-0 win.
Have I run over his cat on the way to work or something?
He would be excellent at breaking up with someone, wouldn't he? He's just so, like, I can't deal with breakup. Like,
what are you, the words confrontational?
Yeah, well, clearly what he thinks is like steps ahead.
Yeah.
So he'll start to plant little things.
I had an argument with him. I went into the room and I said, right. I said, am I not playing? And he's playing. I want to leave. He went, all right, you can leave. He went, 25 million. What, I'm worth 25 million? He went, yeah. I went, what are you leaving a 25 million player for on the bench? And he went, get out. looking back on it now, it adds comedy.
In your Chelsea days, who was parched?
Ooh. Well, we had so many managers, didn't we? So it was like...
It's got to be JT.
Yeah, JT, sure. You know, he does come across as parched because he's very much...
Yeah, JT...
with the manager.
JT...
He'd parch Mourinho, wouldn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. JT and Frank were... There was a core, I said the core. Petr Cech, JT, Frank and Didier were all very close to Mourinho. The rest of us just got the cold shoulder.
You were seriously hydrated at Chelsea.
Yeah, I was hydrated, mate. Hydration levels were hacked.
There's this quote from John Terry. He says, I would give everything and leave that pitch in a coffin for him. Talking about Mourinho, that is parch-like behaviour, isn't it?
That is parch-like behaviour.
That's parchy.
Yeah.
Would Mourinho respond well to a parching, though?
Nah, he was too like... Mourinho is in control of every situation he's in at all times. There's no pulling the wall over his... There's no...
So he knows someone's attempting to parch him.
Yeah.
So you're someone, you know that group, that spine you've got there, right? Yeah. If someone, one player from a different kind of group tried to... Robben, for instance, you know, top player, he started parching.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't happen.
Would not happen. Jose was the best at like, just like, putting a player down.
I think as well, managers, when they're angry, are at their most funniest, especially because they're cutting and they're good with words and like, and they want to belittle you and in front of the lads and you're so hard. So Harry was amazing at it.
Yeah.
When he was his angriest, he was his funniest.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You know, when he gets hit by the ball, you see he's angry. How funny is that?
Yeah.
Tony Pierce was amazing line. Me and Joe discussed this the other day. Fuming with us. You lot getting carried away with yourself. You bang average players in a fantastic situation.
It's brilliant.
Great line.
I just reminded me of another one from Jose, right? Ricky Carvalho, obviously, great player. He had a row with Jose about something. After the game, he didn't play. And Jose's gone, "You will never play again for me. You will never play. John Terry, number one. Gallas, number two. Robert Hoof, three. Young kid, number four." And he went, "Kick man, Mick, I'll play Mick ahead of you." He's gone like that. I've got Mick. Oh, he's 50-year-old friend of Mick Darby on him like that.
Carvalho.
It's Ricky Carvalho.
No way. It's not bad, was it?
It feels to me that you were both players that were on the sort of cusp of quite a big change in football.
Yes.
And I think everyone looks back and goes, "Oh, my time was the best." Like in any job or as a fan, it does feel like you were part of both. You had a sort of foot in the old school and a foot in the new school.
I absolutely loved the fact that I was a part of that kind of old school mentality. Kept coming through as in the youth team with that mentality. It was very harsh. It was tough, sink or swim at times, that kind of thing. But then, and then being the up through the other side where it's ultra professional when dietitians came in, nutritionists, you know, the physios were different. It was a big team behind the team, basically. There's good pros and cons to both of those, I think. Yeah. And I think, like, you mentioned it before, Kai, so you made you were part of the England squad in the year 2000. And bearing in mind, Joe's younger than me, I made my debut in the 99-2000 season for QPR. Joe's playing for England at that time.
Wow.
Like, you must have been involved with, like, Seaman, you know, that kind of era.
Yeah.
And how old are you when you walk into that dressing room and what's
must
it like?
Have been, I think my first squad I was in was my well, I know the game. We can check the dates.
The 7th of October 2000.
Here you go.
Wow.
So is that early? Yeah, it would have been 18 there. Yeah, probably 18. Maybe,
yeah, so I think that's the end of like my first. Yeah.
So you were at QPR.
Playing. Yeah, QPR. Yeah. He's playing.
You were starting at England.
I got in the squad, yeah, first squad.
What's that like? What, you know, you get the call. Like, so how old are you there? 18?
Yeah, I don't even know if I could drive. I can't even remember. I didn't drive myself, but I can't even. Anyway, I got the call up and I've turned up. And to be fair, and I'll always remember this, do you know, like the Beckham, Butt, Scholesies and the Nevilles, they were great. They were like, right the way through my England career as a young player, they always looked after us and made sure I was all right and was welcoming. But then get into your room, first training, met Keegan and all that, just come and enjoy yourself. You're not going to play, but, you know, big part of the future plans for us and blah, 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 whatever. Going to training, I got on the coach and I think, where do I sit? And it's nervous. I just see the hugest paper, the Financial Times, like that. Tony Adams is like, and I'm like, he just give me the little like, come and sit here, mate.
So big tones on the Financial
Big tones on the Financial.
Like, that's like some Corden sketch or something.
I know.
Almost not real. Yeah. Like comic relief.
Getting his footsie numbers in.
I know. And I'm like, let me go and sit next to Tony. And we're just chatting away. And this paper's so big, I've just got no room to sit on this thing. And I'm like that. Tony's sitting there. He's reading about what's going on in the world. And I'm just like blown away. Then you get to training. You know, you're training with Alan Shearer, Paul Ince. Like, I'm talking proper old school players for me. And
players you were a fan of.
Oh, yeah.
You're a young guy.
Yeah. But... Euro 96, 98. And then now I'm training with them. It was just amazing. And Shearer blew me away in a finishing session. I couldn't believe what you were seeing tonight. It was hitting the top. Like,
but you know, you're a kid, right? Straight to the most, I don't know what you were doing at 18. You went to uni or, you know, a lot of people go to uni.
You start college or like, you start sixth form. Or...
Joe's straight in there like, watching Shearer doing finishes.
Yeah. Looking back, I look at my first lad's holiday to Malia, right? So I would have been 17. So I would have been older than
Great
you making
place,
your
Malia,
day.
By the way.
And we turned the corner into Malia. We all had shirts. I had an England flag in the corner of this shirt. Name and number on the back. Don't know why we did numbers.
Shin pads?
No shin pads. And then underneath it said, "The Lads."
Yeah.
And I look back at these pictures and cringe because I just look tiny. We all look tiny and we all look so young. You must have felt like that, but in an England shirt.
Yeah.
And you're a talented player, you must feel small. And...
Yeah. But you know what? It's football. Once I was on the training pitch, I didn't want to get off because I was like, I'm all right here. But it was around the Bisham Abbey and I didn't really know what to do there. Remember, this is before DVD players and fuck, this does sound old, didn't it? So like, there was a card school. I thought, I ain't got the money to play with these boys. So I'm not playing in the card school. So I was just sort of wandering around, like watching a bit of daytime TV, neighbours home and away, waiting for the next training session to come. it's just a weird world you step into as a kid. And it was the famous game where Keegan retired. So we were sitting at Wembley watching the game, got beat, come down, and I'm standing outside the dressing room and Keegan's walked past and he's like, I'm not up to this. I'm resigning. And the poor little PR person for England was like, you can't do that. And I'm like, I'm standing there going, what is going on here? I've only turned up. I'm going, what's going on?
As if that was going to change his mind.
And he's just gone, bang, come here, mate. I don't know, probably Nick Collins has come over. Like, all right. He said, yeah, I've had enough. I'm done. So, that was my first experience of England.
What an experience that was.
Big thing this series on the pod, Joe, is about draft excluders, which are sort of new to the game, really. I don't think when you were a 16-year-old or 18-year-old starting out in England, you were practicing being a draft excluder. No. And to be honest with you, I don't think you'd potentially make a very good one. I know you're above average height, as you're keeping point out. But
we've clarified that already.
In England,
do you need a long draft excluder?
In Scotland. I think I'd be a good draft.
Oh, you'd be a real winner.
But we've taken it up another level with the draft excluders this series. When we were chatting to Aaron Ramsdale, we discussed going full frontal.
Dave, there was a player who went full frontal the other day. I saw it.
We've had two instances so far in the Premier League. Diogo Jota against Newcastle.
Full frontal.
And Dan James for Leeds against Arsenal.
No, but the thing is, right, you can either take it in the mush,
full
frontal, but if you're facing the other way, you're going to take it somewhere, but then you're up for the rebounds if you can get up lively. I don't know.
No, but if you're facing the goal, for one, it's cowardly, I think.
Okay.
But secondly, if you are there, you're right, the rebound comes in, you salmon.
Mm.
Yes, full salmon.
But you're up facing that, but I suppose you don't know when it's been struck.
Yeah. Do you know what? My job a lot was the charger. That's the worst job in football.
Oh, that is a bad job.
You would never have got that job.
Is that just because you were rapid?
No, that was just because I was not very good. I wasn't at anything else. I'm not going to beat anyone in the air.
So you couldn't mark?
If it clips to the far post, I'm no good to no one there. But I can take one in the mush as good as anyone. So.
No, there's nothing worse. Like, actually charging. It's like, if you watch someone who doesn't actually really want to charge, like, they wait, the whistle goes, and then they bend their run a little bit, like, just to make it later.
Let me tell you, right? I've broken leg, ankle, toe, wrist. I've done my medials, right? The most pain I've experienced on a football pitch is charging and taking one in the nuts. I had a tear in my eye. It was like
straight in.
It was horrible. Worst.
We're on series six now, I think this is, right? I don't think we've discussed the charge, the art of charging.
No, I agree. We've discussed Manning.
Mm, yeah.
The draft excluding.
Yeah.
But charging, that's like an unwritten. No one talks about the charger, do they? Listen, everyone knows what it is.
I was an experienced charger, right? So let me tell you.
I was an experienced charger.
It's the worst job. When you get the jobs of set pieces at free season, you're like, I'm going to cop a few this year, right?
No one's ever made a montage on YouTube of fantastic chargers.
You know,
it's all about goals and beautiful saves. Yeah. Like, let's have a charging montage. Yeah. And there's people that can do that out there.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Send in your clips, people. Sunday league.
If you can get it slow-mo as well.
Just a part of the game that doesn't get any recognition, like the first Manning.
The best first man, Didier Drogba.
Yeah, he was good.
Oh, unbelievable first man. Forget his goals, cup finals and that. First man, everyone.
It's changed his Wikipedia. I noticed that happened after J-Mo's
thing. Yeah, it's been changed.
We mentioned about changing his Wikipedia to also have that he was a striker and a model rather than just goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I'm saying the podcast was up half an hour and it was changed.
So it
was that quick.
Blimey.
Didier Drogba, it should be striker.
First man. But you know, Lou, like, how much does a team actually appreciate a good first man?
Honestly, nothing better, Crouchy.
This is what I mean.
I'm being genuinely serious. If you've got a good first man, right, Drogba, for instance, right? So if I'm picking up Chris Stark, it's on the board, right? Well, if I come in and Chris Stark scored, Mourinho's going to tear into me, right? I'll go, I've lost him. Shit. First man gets it away. Everyone breathes a keeper. Yeah, everyone breathes thank God the first man's there.
Yeah. What we need as well, you know, where they do the stuff at the start of the season, they step out in front of the camera, they go, Didier Drogba, striker. Yeah. We need one to step out and just be like, I mean, pick one.
Kovacic, charger.
But do it properly. Well, Joe Cole, break down the perfect charge.
Okay, right. So first of all, it's all about the timing, right? So you take your position with the ref. As soon as the ref turns, he's to look at what's going on in the box. You nick a foot. Mm. He'll look back again. Just ignore him. What? He's under pressure to get the free kick. So he doesn't really want to come back. He's already messed about with the rule for 15 seconds. Mm. When he looks back, you've already nicked a foot. You think, I'll let him. He's only nicked half a foot.
You're part of the wall at this stage.
Yeah, but you're just a little bit in front.
And are you talking to your teammates? Are you saying, right, I'm going.
No, I'm focused.
I'm
getting in the zone, right?
They're not saying to you, Joe.
Joe, do you get the eye contact with the taker? Are you trying to intimidate the taker?
That's all bravado. Okay. It's the ball. You and the ball.
So you're in the ball.
But you don't stop.
Eye contact with the ball and that's it.
But if the charger, same way the draft excluder, it's not embarrassing anymore to just lie there under a free kick. Don't you think the charger, if they're not going to be part of the wall, should be down in a sprint start?
I like what you're thinking to
get out.
I like what you're thinking, but the first 2 yards are in your head. All right, so you've already nicked 1 yard from the ref, and then the second yard, just as he's about to strike it,
you're gone.
I would imagine it's like when you've jumped from a plane. Yeah. That moment where you just got to go. Anything can happen now.
Are you going full front, or is there an element of
a little
twist?
Bit of side?
A little bit of side.
There's a little bit of side, and. I can't believe I'm discussing it.
I got Joe Cole on. How many caps you got, Joe? We're discussing it.
Listen, I would have brought my touchscreen if you'd have known. We could have gone into the depths
of it. He's a touchscreen talent at BT. We could have gone into the depths of it. We should do
that. That's the video we should do.
Boys, desperate to get him on a you should see him on the touchscreen, right? He's unreal. He just won't do it live.
It's bullshit.
I'm nervous wreck on the touchscreen.
So the touchscreen, I always wondered,
I'm a nervous wreck on it. Joe's good at it. Very good.
Do you practice that?
Yeah, well, when I first started, you did. And it's nerve-wracking. Do you know what I mean? Because it's live TV at the end of the day. So you're like...
I did a bit of that stuff previously with the United. And one of the big things is getting the click right.
Yeah.
Because you bottle it, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes the circle is higher than you think. And you look like an idiot, don't you?
Yeah,
you're like,
I've
clicked it in the right place.
Yeah. I've had a couple of them moments clicking for dear life.
Yeah, and you're like, well, it's not working.
Yeah.
Take me off air. Yeah. Get me out of here.
I know. You just got to blag it.
You have to, yeah.
You've always got that bin button.
Yeah.
The bin that brings you right back to start. And you just breathe and you go
but
again.
You can't do that whilst you do. I've never seen someone hit that.
I'm more comfortable. Like, off air, I'm like, bang, bang, let's do this. Oh. Little, like, then on air, I sort of freeze a bit and go, Joe, can you do them? So I'm getting there,
mates tune in every game to watch me fuck it up. They love it. That's and everyone they're hoping we'll make their year.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's been good to go in depth about your charging, but charging wasn't the only part of your game, of course.
It was a really strong part for that. Of your game, but did have more to your game.
Did have more to your game. Dave, when Joe was under Jose, was there anything that you could pick out stats-wise that you can share with us?
I think defensively was a big one. That 2004-05 team has got the best defensive record ever, 15 goals conceded. I think the big thing there, like structurally as a team, I think one of the big things we saw with both of the wide players, yourself and let's say Duff or Robin dropping back.
Yeah.
What was different with Jose to make you get into the right position at that time?
Well, he liked partnerships on the pitch. So I played on the right. Paulo Ferreira played behind me. What he was very big on was you'd pick up left back, right? And if he got a cross in, it was my responsibility, not the right backs. Do you know what I mean? So I love playing with Paulo Ferreira. I think he's one of the most underrated players I've played with. He won the Champions League twice. Fantastic right back. So when we played against an attacking fullback, like Arsenal, for instance, Ashley Cole, I was like Atletico Madrid. It ended up at times a six, really. And you had the double right back when we didn't have a ball. And you just knew if you got it wrong. Like there was a game, we played Barcelona in the Nou Camp. Van Bronckhorst was playing left back and I was playing right midfield. And it was the first time I played against Ronaldinho, stupidly. So the ball's gone into Ronaldinho. He's pinned Paulo Ferreira and he's got, we're all in a nice defensive position. We're all set. I can see Van Bronckhorst and he's made a run. Like, and I thought, that's a stupid run. He's never going to get that. And Ronaldinho just gone, done something, lollipop, bang, back heeled it into Van Bronckhorst. And it's one of them moments on the pitch when I was like, oh shit. Van Bronckhorst whipped across. Essu's missed it by a Rizzler. And I'm gone. And I've got, and I've just seen Joe, alone in the corner of my eye, I'm ignoring it, but I've just seen Jose bounce out the tunnel like, and his arms going everywhere. Yeah, that was because it was Ronaldinho and I took a gamble where I let Van Bronckhorst run. And I thought, right now, for the rest of the 40 or 50 games, there's not going to be a fullback that's going to run past me. Like 99% of the time, I'm not playing against Ronaldinho and he ain't about to get the ball there. But I just thought, right, I'm going every time. So it was basically, he just had non-negotiables. And if anyone gets a crossing from that side,
that's
my responsibility. Especially, we was like Atletico Madrid, in my opinion. Now, when I look, that's the closest.
You get to it.
I wasn't playing in like a where Griezmann plays for them. I suppose it was one of the outside, wide guys, the wide of a four type. You know what I mean? So, but listen, I didn't have as much touches of the ball in the final third as I would have liked. So if you was playing modern football now, you would do. But I still, listen, winning trophies is the best. So I did love it.
But you know, like you said, you were playing on the right there. You play on the left a lot for England. Yeah. Like you play behind the front. You played in the central midfield. You know, you play like what? What would you say is your best position? What do you enjoy the most?
I often think to myself, I'd love to play in this era where I'd be like almost like Bernardo Silva. I'd like to be central, just picking, getting on the ball all the time. You know what I mean? I wouldn't necessarily be a wide attacking player like a Sterling or a Grealish now. I'd be sort of, I want to be central. So like an attacking central midfielder or just a Mason Mount, you know, it's similar. But the modern football now, I look at it and think, oh, I'd have loved to have played. Listen, so,
are you saying, did England not get it right for you, do you think?
England didn't get it right for any of us. Like, let's get it right. Let's get it right. Like, listen, we had, when I look at the quality of players that we had, and Sven, love him, do you know what I mean? Great manager in his time, but he had a way of playing, and it was outdated. It was very English the way he played. We thought we was going to get in this exotic manager who's going to come in with his new ideas, and he came in, all right, lads, 4-4-2. And we're like, all right, okay. And I think it's been proven now the type of players we're producing that we're on the right path. We're playing football the right way. Defenders who can come out with the ball, you know, mid playing through the lines, midfielders who can handle the ball off both feet. And then it allows your forward players like your Grealish, your Foden, your Sterlings, Sancho, whoever it may be, to flourish because they're getting the ball fed into there. It's a system to, whereas before in our time, it was right, we need to be strong defensively. When you get the ball, do what you want. And the amount of times I play for England and we're playing against teams, I'm thinking, how are these keeping the ball? I know you play in the Championship for someone, you play in the Polish League, I'm playing with Steven Gerrard, Beckham, and they're just popping it because they was tactically more drilled. And we've taken us 10, 15 years to catch up and we've caught up now.
Big shot. I think that's an interesting one from England's perspective because it was screaming out for a free midfield for how long? For like 10, 15 years.
But he tried it. Right, Sven tried it on occasions. He dropped Beckham into that sort of quarterback role. He was bypassing Frank and Stevie, and Frank and Stevie weren't really as comfortable like receiving the ball as tens. Frank would tell you himself, he didn't like, although he scored so many goals, he didn't like receiving the ball in a half turn. He liked to just have a look and in time he's run. Stevie could do anything. It was like Roy at the Rovers. But Bex would be like, getting it right, let me just ping it there and ping it there because I'm a great passer of all. But there was no work in training. We go, right, okay, Stevie can play in that 10, like, but Frank can't. So let's play through the lines. Let's get Rio and JT, two of the best footballing centre-halves. Never showed the level of their quality because they was always playing within themselves.
I'm just going to have to bring this in. When you think about Joe Cole, well, when I think about Joe Cole, we have the goal against Sweden.
Yeah.
Chris, well, are you ready?
2006.
2006.
By the front row view, this
you're
one.
You're in this.
Look, I would even say that you got the assist here because you were the last England player to touch the ball before. Beckham, wide right, ball into the box. Crouchy, back stick.
Yeah.
Melberg clears. Oh, Anderson wide.
That's an assist.
This is great commentary.
What happens now?
20 years of football into one moment, but listen, I can't complain. It was a great goal. And and the only reason I shot was because I was fucking exhausted. I would never shot from there in my career. That weren't my game. 30-yard screamers.
I think right here, I mean, the ball's sitting up. Your mind frame is relax, compose, fucking blast off.
You got no right to score from there, have you?
No. He was about 6'7", the keeper, wasn't he?
It's a big
Yeah, it's lovely.
Good times.
Yeah, lovely
times. Celebration.
Look at that. Look at the Barney as well.
Oh, look, first on the scene.
Yeah,
look,
always the first Driscoll on the brothers.
Who would have known? BT's finest. Fast forward 20 years.
You look like you tried to lift him up, but then can't.
Well, that was a bit heavier than I looked.
He was. I didn't realise he was 5'9" and a half. 5'9", he would have been straight up.
All right, let's get on to a few of your messages. We've been a bit slack on the messages in the last couple of pods, Crouchy. Joe, you got one there.
Right.
If you had to spend the weekend with four managers you played under, who would you choose? Good question.
Oh, it is a good question. That's from Jordan. Nice one, Jordan. I'm thinking of Sven here. You know, like I'm thinking...
Well, we know where Sven would be.
I'd have Sven number one pick, I think, if I was going...
I think we open this up and say you can decide between you both. Four managers that you've both played under.
So me and Joe, are going on holiday.
You two
and we're taking four managers between us.
The Wild, yeah.
Where are we going?
Malia.
Let's go to Malia.
We're going to Malia with the lads.
Let's go. First lads holiday. Shirts have been made and everything.
Right. Yeah. So are we young single lads here?
I don't think it should be about like a young Sven, for example. I think it should be.
A young Sven would be first pick on anyone's lads holiday.
It's you two in your prime, first lads holiday.
Right.
Lads holiday, not prime.
But the managers sort of stay the same.
At
the same complex.
Yeah.
Sven's coming.
Right, okay.
Sven's
the assist numbers would be quite high, though.
Yeah. I think I'd struggle to convert them, I'll be honest. If it's a 17-year-old crouch.
Really high XG, no goals.
Yeah, no goals. I mean, it's like De Bruyne playing with a 17-year-old crouch.
Brilliant. I think if this is answered right, then there'll be a group of guys who go on a holiday to Malia, but they should be dressed up as the people you come up with here.
Right.
So it'd be Crouchy, Cole, Sven. We need three others.
It's a great question. The mind boggles.
The mind boggles. You bring Harry.
Yeah, you bring Harry.
100%.
Do you know why you bring Harry? You've just woken up about 11, right? He'll be already down by the pool. In them holidays, you get them dark moments, don't you? You start thinking, oh, what did I do last night? And he's just there to put his arm on your shoulder.
He's gone and got a couple of the sunbeds either side.
Come sit down, Joe. And Harry is the best storyteller of it. Like, he's a blinder.
Great round of dinner table in the evenings.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's in the holiday. He's got the shirt. Harry on the back.
I think we need a mother figure.
Right,
yeah, that maybe could help the lads out when they're, you know, when they've been out on, you know, until 3 a.m.
You mean a bit of a Mr. Sensible?
Maybe a Mr. Sensible, someone that would sort the kebabs out at the end of the night.
Have a water.
Yeah, have a water.
Carlo Ancelotti.
Well, let's get into this. What was Carlo Ancelotti like?
Just a gentleman, and he every player who's played for him loved him. I don't know anyone who don't. First night out we had as a team, we had a team meal, and he joined in, and we went to an Italian restaurant in London. And I was late. There was only one seat next to the gaffer. And you're walking in, and I'm like, oh no, what's like next to the gaffer for 2 hours? Like, and I'm late. And you don't really know. He just sat me down. So the lads all got the Diet Cokes and all that. And he pours me out a shot of grappa. And we ain't even had the minestrone soup yet. So we're like, so I've done the shot. All right, gaffer, a little boom. Like, and I'm waiting for him to like chastise me. And then he just gone, poured me another one. And we're just there, just banging this grappa back at this meal.
But only you and him.
Only me and him. No one else. Like, just telling me stories about Milan and that. And I'm just, like, as I'm getting a bit looser, I'm asking, what's he like? What's he like? So you absolutely, he's the best company ever.
Everyone else.
And let me tell you this. I had my big major knee injury when I was my last year at Chelsea. And I went in for an operation. And he's the only manager... Like, he took the time. He rung me, like, just before I was going out to the operation. And it just means a lot, little touches like that. Do you know what I mean? You're on the, just good luck. Don't worry. You'll be all right. So I love Carlo. He's like a big bear, like, of a man. And, yeah. He's not sensible, though.
One more space left on the flight.
Ranieri with the pizzas? No, it's not coming. Oh, you don't.
I like Cloudy. I like Cloudy. I just don't know what he brings to the occasion.
Sorry, Joe.
Like, so, you know what I mean? Sorry. No, I'm like.
No, but you're not going away with these lads often, are we, sir?
It's better to get it right.
Better to get it right. Capello would spoil it.
He'd ruin it, Capello, wouldn't he? Taking the catch up off the table.
Nah, there'd be no. Like,
God, tartan at you when you're buttering your toast.
Butter, get out of it. No ketchup. Yeah.
No, forget
get
that.
Out of it, Fabs.
Okay.
Big Phil.
Big Phil Scolari.
Big Phil, yeah, he's a good guy, but he's bringing the same energy as Carlo. I want to mix it up a little bit.
Avram Grant,
oh, too heavy. Honestly, Avram's party too much. Like it'd be one of them you'd be having to like make sure he's all right, like get him a water to get up.
So you go out.
Avram
like
loves it.
Seven o'clock in the wow. You know in the evening.
You'd be like me and Crash. Be like Avram's out. Yeah.
Someone take him home. He's causing murders.
Oh my God! Everyone have a good night, Wobba Avram. Oh, like, have you seen him this morning?
He likes a party, Avram. He goes a go. He has a right go. So I'm in Dubai last year. I might add, I'm in a nightclub, and I don't go to nightclubs very often. But I'm in there with my pal. It's about 2 a.m, and my pal's gone to me. One of your managers is over there, 2:30 a.m, in the Dubai nightclub, and he said to me, if you guess who it was, I'll buy all the drinks. I'll get the bill. Right? And I've just gone, he's got 3 chances. And I went, I don't know, I thought it could be Jose. I don't know. Like, it was a nice gaff. It was Avram. Turned around. Like, that's why we can't take him. We don't know where he'll end up.
I kind of think Avram should be there.
Yeah.
He's got a wild card element.
Yeah. The thing is, everyone's going to have a good time. You've got loads of stories.
Yeah.
You come back and go, everyone will go talk about what Avram was up to. Yeah.
And I get to a police station, but you could apologise and, you know, it would be fine.
I like Avram. He's a really good man. And he done a great job at Chelsea. And to be fair, most places, his record's unbelievable, you know. So, it's going to be carnage.
So look, if you are listening to this, right, a lot of people great listen question. To this, and you're going on holiday. Yeah, thanks, Jordan, for the question.
Yeah.
And you're going on a lad's holiday, right? We need 6 of you in shirts on the back. We want to see Redknapp. I suppose I'd like to see Sven on the back rather than Eriksen, but you know where I'm getting at. Ancelotti, Grant, Crouch and Cole. That's the photo we need.
Is that possible?
That will happen.
That will happen. I love this programme.
Honestly, I don't think there's any time where this hasn't happened.
It will happen.
Will happen.
Ideally, if you can design something funny on the front of the shirts as well.
Yeah.
And then we can, of course, bang that up on the socials.
And whoever has the Avram one, that has to be the carnage of the group. The story will get even better.
Yeah. Who's your Avram Grant?
who's the Avram of the group? Everyone's got one.
Boys, got this message from Sam here. It says, I moved to Singapore 6 months ago and started playing futsal. I was discussing how Statman Dave reckons goalies are going to be midfielders in 10 years' time. And a guy instantly shouted out, Peter Crouch, pass the pod. I was amazed to see how far the pod has been passed. That's pretty awesome.
Singapore
passing of the pod there.
Superb.
I suppose it's a good opportunity, this, to just thank everyone that has been passing the pod, especially like since we've come back, because I don't know about you, Crouch, I'm still getting so many messages from people going, stop dicking around and bring the podcast back. And they're not realising that it is back.
It's back, yeah. I had it today, actually. Someone's saying, oh, when you bring the pod back, like it is back. We need to get word out there, pass the pod.
Yeah, I don't know if it's something you can help with, Joe, at all, in just drumming up a bit of essentially just get people back involved in this. Lots of people love the podcast. There's lots of people listening. If you listen to this now, well done. You know, you found us kind of thing. But I do get a vibe that there's a lot of people who are missing out. And I think we need to go again on the sort of passing the pod.
Yeah, nicely said.
Drumming up that support.
And also I quite like the way, you know, it's done like a little bit differently. You know, if you've got lots of different ways of passing the pod. So
yeah. And also because of kind of how we do the podcast now, we can reward people for doing this. And obviously we see a lot of the stuff you guys are doing on social in terms of getting the podcast out there, making some noise around it. I saw some great stuff about these guys that were in a pub, asking to borrow people's phones, then just subscribing to the podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
On that.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know what the rules are, but that sounds amazing.
No, I like it. I'm all for it.
I think we need a bit
steal
more
people's
of that.
Phones. As long as you give them back, subscribe and pass them back.
But most importantly, I think what we can do now as well with this podcast is sort of reward by giving away some of Crouchy's stuff. You can sort of just have a route around, maybe.
I'll have a route around, yeah, and I'll give away some. Well, I mean, last time it was a bra and pants, fantastic. Yeah. But I'll do better this time.
Yeah, I think we'll do it like this. Like, there's no rules to this, but if you can sort of demonstrate that you've been passing the pod, proof's nice. It's not totally required. We trust you. Hit us up on social. You know, explain what you've been doing to pass the pod, and we'll start giving out a few things to people that.
Why don't we do something good this time? Like, I know it was a bit of a joke. Like, why don't I do actually something that people might want?
Like,
I don't know. Like, I was thinking about like a hat trick ball or a man of the match champagne.
That'd be amazing.
Or something like a bit of a memento from that actually does mean a little bit to me. Like, pass the pod, I'll get something good out of the cupboard.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so think about it. Get us on the socials, the podcast. You know where to find it on socials, or me and Pete, or Statman Dave, or just email us. That's the other way to do this. The email address is
peter.crouch@acast.co.uk.com,
and that's perfect.
So
there you go.
Should we clarify that again?
Email address.
It's peter.crouch@acast.com.
So in the last episode, we had our first advert produced by a listener, which was better than I remember it. When I heard the podcast back, it was one of the funniest.
I loved it. I've seen a picture of it now. It's massive. It's one of the biggest printers I've ever seen. It's from the 1980s. So if you wanted to get your hands on it, £5, I think he was charging.
Yeah. So the whole point of this is, obviously there's adverts on this podcast, and we thought it'd be a great opportunity, because loads of you listening to this right now, that one of you can come on and just advertise or give away some bit of rubbish, any old shit that you've got lying around. But you can kind of use the power of the pod to get rid of it. And you guys aren't disappointing with these. At the time of recording, Laurie has had a good deal of interest in his fucking massive printer, but I think it'd be good to hear another advert.
I'd love to.
You ready for this? I've not actually heard this yet.
Neither have I.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Crouchy. If this ends up getting into the shows, it's absolutely mental, because my name is Jasper William Cartwright and I am here to sell my flat. That is right. I have a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom flat in central Manchester to sell. Basically, we've had a sale agreed twice, but we've had 2 absolute Carls back out at the last second. And we have a dream home lined up, which we can't move into until we sell this one. So if you're looking for a flat in central Manchester with a roof garden, an underground parking and a concierge, then hit me up on Instagram or Twitter or something at JW_Cartwright, and I'll send you all the details. Thanks for the pod, boys. I absolutely love it. And after I sell this flat, I'll be back stronger.
That's what it's all about.
Wow. But he sounds like he sells adverts for a living.
He sounded like Terry Tibbs at one point. Do you need a quality used motor?
He sounds like a 90s kind of like who's the fella who was on Funhouse? Like, oh my God. Pat Sharp's advertising through the pod. That is Pat Sharp. He's lying. He's had that for years and he's trying to get shot of it. He's had it rented out. No one's rented it anymore. Pat Sharp from the Funhouse is lying. He's blagging his way in. He's trying to sell his flat.
Also, a bit of house housery, I suppose you'd have to call it there. That,
what's he asking for, though?
Well, because they've got a dream home. They just can't sell their gaff at the moment, can they? Because these people keep putting in bids and then pulling out.
Yeah, Carls keep pulling out.
But I think if you are interested in this or need more details, obviously we'll put this thing out on social, have a look there. Or if this just piques your interest a little bit, feel free to email into the podcast and we can maybe link you guys up. It'd be amazing if we could solve his housery.
But also, we could turn this podcast into like purple bricks.
That's an incredible shout.
No, anyway, they're doing great, aren't they? Like, we could potentially start selling houses through the pod.
It's a brilliant idea. The new purple bricks, potentially. So,
what are we going to call it? So, load of pricks.
Imagine someone with a card outside their house. You know, one of them signs just says load of pricks for sale.
It's amazing. Amazing. Instead of purple bricks, we're going to call ourselves load of pricks. You see them everywhere.
Sell your house through load of pricks. All right. So I think you're getting a feel for what's needed here. If you're selling a printer or if you're selling your house, it's all good. Let us know. Send us a little email. peter.crouch@acast.com.
Joe, thanks so much for doing this, mate. I really appreciate it.
Loved it. Loved it. I've enjoyed it. I just can't believe that we're going to get this group of lads in them kits. I'm buzzing off that, you know that.
Honestly, people will love the challenge of this.
Yeah.
We need to see it. I think it needs to be like abroad somewhere though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw recently, myself and Jermaine Defoe went to Crete. I think it was a stag do where I was a big tall fella and a little fella and they had my two England shirts on for the whole and full kits for the whole time. I really enjoyed it.
Let's make it happen. Yeah, just work out who your Avram is and obviously look after him a little bit.
Yeah,
because it sounds like they're going to have a wild time.
Yeah,
they'll have a wild time anyway, but you know,
drink like, responsibly.
Yeah. All because of Joe Cole. I love that email from Jordan before. I've got to say, the emails that we're getting into this podcast are another level. I think this is the thing I've missed the most about, you know, when we weren't doing the podcast for a while, the gap.
Some of the best things that we've done have been from emails. Yeah.
Some of the best questions for the guests that we get on.
Yeah, even talking about finding out that Avram Grant is in a complete nutcase. Awesome.
Yeah. I will say this as well. I don't want to do us down. I think we've been a bit lax in tackling as many emails as we could do on this podcast. I'm wondering if we've had some amazing guests on the last few pods. I wonder if we just dedicate the next podcast to getting few more messages.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I love the messages we get in, and it just something comes up from them every time. Something incredible happens.
Yeah,
from some of these emails. You've got some great questions.
Yeah, let's do that. I also think we need to touch on a few footballing issues at the moment. One of the major ones being, which I'm surprised you haven't given me more shit for, relegation. Watford obviously now going down. I'm back in the Championship. We haven't really chatted about any of that, have we?
I know it's a tough time for you really, mate. I don't want to rub that in, you know, like relegation. I've been through it myself. It's horrendous.
All right. Well, we'll give you a bit of time to think about what you want to talk about on that one, and we'll do that in the next pod then. Nice. Brewdog admin, where are we up to?
Brewdog Beer Wizard's been promising me a taste test for a while, and he sent down his colleague, the Beer Whisperer, to help us taste some beers and decide on the flavourings, the laute. Yeah. So we're tasting a few beers today.
Oh, what a job.
Can I throw something in, right? As a statistician, I don't want us to be sitting on the fence.
Let's say hello to the Beer Whisperer.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to be here. Excited to be here. Big fan of the podcast. So great to come down on behalf of the Beer Wizard. He doesn't really leave the brewery that much. He's kind of like a Willy Wonka figure, so we don't really let him out in public.
Right.
So how it's kind of working with the laute at the moment is people are turning up in pubs, just getting a lager and a stout, mixing it together half and half. Everyone's improvising.
Yeah.
But you're going to be able to dig down on the technicalities of what we're after by... And I love this, us tasting a few of the Brewdog beers that you've brought along today.
Yeah, well, this is the hard work. This is the real legwork behind designing a beer is trying about 10 different ones and then trying to figure out if you can still see. And if you can still see, then trying to figure out what beers you want to kind of combine into the layout. So we'll start with a classic, right?
Yeah.
So Lost Lager is our kind of standard lager, 4.5% alcohol, not too boozy, nice and pale. So I think this kind of sums up what you might want about a lager in the layout, right?
This feels like this could be the one.
Are we ready to taste?
We've
already tasted. Yeah, we're well ahead of you.
I went already. That's the one.
I don't know if you guys have ever tried a big strong lager. I'll pour you out for this, right? You can use the same glass, right? We're not going to be fancy about it. So this...
Right, let me finish that one.
This lager's brewed for 90 days and it's 8% alcohol. So this is this is what we call a... Yeah, this is what we call a Bock lager. It's 9%, 8% big, boozy. It's called a Bock because it comes from the town of Einbeck in Germany. So it's a German-style Bock lager.
It says on the can, amplified German lager.
Yeah.
So that means sort of German lager.
We've cranked it up. So I think what you get is stronger, a bit more German, like more toffee caramel, kind of sweeter than the Lost Lager's, a bit not quite as sweet.
Thing is, the second you said toffee...
Yeah, you taste the sweetness.
I tasted that then.
Yeah, a little bit
that's,
of caramel.
That's what's weird when you said that until then I couldn't... And then I was tasting...
And I'd be worried if you add that in the laute, the laute's going to be too sweet and it's not going to be refreshing because you want it to be a refreshing drink, right?
It needs to be. This one here reminds me, this is similar to what the kind of vibe we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Like the purple sort of silver two-tone thing. If we could get the...
Bigger can.
You know, if we could get like the lager and the stout encapsulated in the can.
Yeah, okay. But you don't want either of the beers to actually be purple.
No.
The big purple one. this is. This is like a bigger can.
Yeah, a big purple one.
Jet Black Heart. Oh, yeah, I didn't realise you were already involved in stout.
That looks good. If you look at the texture, the coloration of that,
I thought this was a purple drink we were about to
No,
drink.
Sadly not. That's the WKD beer that we haven't made yet.
Oh, this looks good.
So I think that kind of texture is nice, right?
Yeah.
I smell...
Oh, chocolatey. Chocolatey, right? Mm. A little bit of coffee as well. Almost coffee. Like an espresso martini.
That's what I'm tasting, espresso martini. Yeah. So are you calling that a stout?
Yeah, that's a stout,
So what makes a stout a stout then?
The dark colour, which comes from dark malts, dark barley. That's what gives it that kind of dark colour. That's what we call a stout. It's a little stronger than most stouts. It's 6%, so it's a little bit punchier, and it's quite sweet. I've got another beer in my magical ice box. This is called Shadowmaker, which is a cool name, and it's a black can for a black beer, so there's no confusion around the colour purple.
Now, hang on. So this is a dry Irish stout.
Irish stout. So yeah, this is a very traditional Irish style stout, which means it won't be as sweet as that one. It'll be a little bit more...
Try it, mate.
A little bit more crisp, which is maybe what you want if you want a refreshing lout. You might want a more crisp stout. And I think you'll get a bit more foam on this as well. A bit more head.
This looks it.
And the colour's good. See, look at that.
Yeah, you see, the colour is lovely, actually, that.
Nice bit of foam.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just in my element right now, guy. Look.
It's a great day at the office,
We should do more of this. So, where are we at with this?
So, with this Irish dry stout, first of all, not as boozy, right? You haven't got 6%, you've only got 4%. So, it's a kind of standard strength 4% stout. And then not as sweet, not as much coffee.
A bit fizzy.
It's a little bit more refreshing, I would say.
Bit fizzier, isn't it?
Not quite as creamy. So it's almost got that fizz of a lager, but in a stout. So I think we're getting warmer with this one because you want the fizz of the lager with the kind of...
Yeah, my only issue is doesn't the lager provide the fizz and then you tone it down with the stout?
So I think what we can do is we can take the best bits of both because it's like a fizzy.
That's how I imagine
stout.
The louts would taste.
Its own. I think we can take this, but we can add a bit more lager flavour. So let's make the blend of the perfect lout.
Let's do it, Beer Whisperer.
Okay. Right, let's do the taste test.
That is spectacular.
Have a sip.
That is honestly spectacular.
Do you know what he's just blended there?
That is it. That is the lout.
Yeah.
In its finest.
Have you actually remembered? Because if you haven't, we're
that's a nice drink.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I think we've got all the key aspects.
So what are the key aspects?
We've got the colour, the dark colour of the beer with a little bit of that light lager colour shining through.
Yeah.
We've got the nice kind of creamy foam. We've got the kind of slightly chocolatey but still crisp and refreshing from the lager working together.
There's a bit of that.
Bit of Roaster Coaster, bit of Jet Black Heart. We had a little bit of Lost. Bit of Treehouse and a bit of Lost. I think it was four beers.
Can you come up with something similar to that, I'll be happy.
Okay.
I think we can
pull this off. There's actually, so we really like the Bavarian lager, right, from the south of Germany. And just over the border in Czech Republic, they brew black lager. So we could try and pull inspiration from that and try and get some of that Bohemian Bavarian Czech flavour in there. And then you'll get that kind of like influence in there too, which would be great.
The listeners can't say that we have left no stone unturned. In the quest for loads.
There's not many stones unturned here, no.
The journey continues. Be gone, Beer Whisperer. Back to the Beer Wizard.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I couldn't sell my house for 6 months. And then I got in touch with a load of pricks. And now we've got our dream house.
It's a belter.
This episode is brought to you by a load of pricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, what can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us. Then I told her, let's go to a load of pricks.net.
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.